Welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy. I'm Esperanza Phoenix. In this podcast, I share my unusual life experiences, unique perspective, and frank conversations with people like me who use humor to cope with physical disabilities, mental health conditions, and extraordinary life circumstances which set us apart from societal norms. Expect to hear discussions about controversial and adult topics. There will be swearing. Life can be a crazy journey. Let's unpack it together. Today, we are going to talk about ADHD in women. So if you follow this show, you will know that I have been on a journey to get diagnosed and treated in all of that. And so I've delved into a lot of research on the topic, and I want to share what I've learned because it could help you in your life. So let's unpack this. While a lot of these symptoms do cross over, I am focused particularly in ADHD in women. But I had so much information that it was really just too much to put in just one episode. So I've actually broken this up into two episodes, thus meeting my goal of getting two episodes in the same month, I hope. What I would like to share with you in these two episodes are the types of ADHD, the symptoms in women and girls, what the diagnosis process is like, examples of how it has affected my life along the way, why diagnosis, regardless of age, can be so valuable, why ADHD may have been an evolutionary gift, the superpowers of the ADHD brain, some of the celebrities who also have ADHD, and if you stick around till the end, as a bonus, I will share with you some of the tools that I use to manage some of the challenges of having ADHD. Before I get started, this is a one-woman show. And when I say one woman, I mean I don't have anybody to help me edit this or figure it out. Please like, subscribe. If you would like to support what I do financially, go to buymeacoffee.com/ESPPhoenix. If you would like to support what I do and get a really cool piece of artwork, then please go to esperanzapaints.com and you can find my Etsy shop. While I'm on the topic of my Etsy shop and my artwork, I am super, super excited to share with you that I have finally finished the painting in the background. For those of you who watch, I have been working on this painting for, I think, like 8 months. So we're going to talk a little bit later about the whole procrastination thing. But, you know, part of it was the move, which I covered in one of the episodes. So obviously I had to stop work on the painting and I had to stop in time for it to dry and then travel. And then there was unpacking and moving and all of that. And then while I am really super excited that I discovered water-soluble oil paint, the drawback is oftentimes you have to allow a period of drying before you can go on to a next step so you don't smudge things. And I find that when I walk away from it, sometimes it's hard to walk back. And that is in part because one of the ways that ADHD brains get things done is through hyperfocus. And I will talk about that a little bit more later too. So let's jump into this. First off, in girls and women, ADHD tends to manifest differently. Girls have ADHD just as often as boys do. We just often aren't diagnosed, and many times we'll be diagnosed with anxiety or depression and prescribed those medications before they even consider the possibility of us having ADHD. And the reason why is because the symptoms are less disruptive. So let's look at what those symptoms are. And I'm going to put a list of them here, but I'm going to read them for you too. So some of the symptoms are daydreaming in class, or if you're an adult, daydreaming in meetings. And I have had some repercussions of that in my adult life, and it's very frustrating. Anxiety and depression, as I mentioned, being inattentive or shy. And sometimes the shyness or inattentiveness is actually, you're off in another world somewhere, so you're not really, you've got a vivid imagination and you're playing out another scenario in your head while the rest of the class or whatever is a conversation is going on, and you're not really participating because you've had an idea that sent you somewhere else. Another thing can be being a chatterbox, especially girls in class can be talkative because our hyperactivity may manifest in our head and verbally as opposed to, you know, getting up and bouncing off the walls, that kind of thing. Another unfortunate trait is physically picking at cuticles or scabs or acne. It's an unfortunate symptom. And while I am very fortunate that I didn't wind up with a lot of scarring, I had acne really bad in my 20s. And picking was a problem. I couldn't leave it alone. And I was also a nail biter. Nail biting can be part of that too. And honestly, I still struggle with picking at my cuticles. And I try not to. But it is one of those symptoms, the fidgeting, and that is a physical form of fidgeting. Ironically, because we often struggle to get things right, we can be perfectionists. So we really, really want to get things right. So we are trying to get things as perfect as possible. Which, when your mind wanders or you have trouble focusing or you completely forget about things, can be especially frustrating. And let's face it, nobody can be perfect. But with the ADHD brain, you are constantly attempting to accomplish perfection and also constantly failing. Again, back to the anxiety and depression because of that impossible standard that we tend to put on ourselves. Another symptom of the perfectionism is quitting before we start. Sometimes we don't want to do something unless we feel like we can get it right the first time. And it seems really illogical, perhaps, because if you think about it, you know, nobody's really perfect at anything the first time. We may have an aptitude for something. But if we feel like we may fail or we're not going to get it right, then we might not try at all. And it can be paralyzing. We can be the masters of procrastination. And this is often because of time blindness. And I'm going to talk a little more about time blindness here in a minute. For girls and women, while we may not have the external hyperactivity as much as boys do, one of the things that we will do, we often do, is a repetitive thing like jiggling. So jiggling a knee or tapping a foot or something like that is a fairly typical thing. I can remember in band class, my band instructor said to me, "I don't understand how you can be playing this piece when your knee is jiggling at a totally different rhythm." the knee thing had nothing to do with the music thing. The knee thing was a physical manifestation of the ADHD and the nervousness within me coming out in my knee, I guess. It was a habit that I would often get scolded for because of jiggling chairs of the person next to me. So yes, that form of fidgeting is a typical ADHD behavior. Another unfortunate symptom is social awkwardness. And this social awkwardness is often because we blurt things out. And we aren't doing it to be rude, but oftentimes ideas are fleeting. And ideas can be somewhat illogical to those around us. Somebody may say something, and in what they're saying, they say this one thing that reminds you of something else. And you really want to share this thing because it's really exciting to you all of a sudden. And you're afraid if you don't share it right this minute, you will completely forget what it was you thought about. And sometimes you actually do. We have difficulty with memory. So it's that retaining thought thing. So it's like if somebody gives you a list of four things, okay, milk, bread, sugar, apples, whatever. You may be able to hold that, but if the list gets longer, especially in ADHD people, it's really hard to hold that information in there. And the result of that is blurting things out sometimes in conversations, which is awkward. And then additionally, because we tend to have a very active imagination, sometimes our minds are thinking about something entirely different than the conversation. We have wandered off and suddenly had a brilliant idea that we really want to share. But everybody around us is like, what? How does that have anything to do with this? It may or may not, in our mind, connect to what the conversation was about, which is really awkward and really frustrating and can be embarrassing. And it sometimes affects our friendships and makes it hard to connect with others. And as I mentioned before, a lot of times a girl will not be diagnosed. And that is because some of these behaviors, well, first of all, we kind of live in a society, it's getting better, but we live in a society where the term boys will be boys still exists. So boys tend to get away with certain behaviors that girls are landed on for. We are expected to respect other people's needs and think about others all the time and be polite and be quiet. And so a lot of times, perhaps inside, we really want to run around the room because we've got this energy and it's like, ah, but because of expectations, we are holding it in and instead internalizing and having anxiety and then having depression about that anxiety and the perfectionism and all of that. So we aren't getting diagnosed because we aren't acting on that energy. We aren't punching the kid next to us or throwing things around the room or doing things that a teacher would find disruptive and therefore encourage our parents to get us diagnosed. Instead, we might just not be getting our work done and being very distracted, and then we are considered lazy or not applying ourselves. Or the other thing we often get is, she's so smart. Why isn't she doing better? And that is another interesting thing about a lot of people with ADHD. While it can be frustrating and difficult for us to accomplish the many things that we would like to, and we often start many, many projects, we see, my mind just went off. I've got to bring it back around. Okay, where was I going with this? Frustration, mini projects. That, I promise I'm not going to cut this out because I really want you to understand how frustrating this can be. Okay, where was I going with this? That's right. Intelligence. Fuck. Okay, so a lot of people with ADHD are really, really smart. we're not stupid people. Our brains just function differently. And on many levels, they are functioning high power in many different directions at once. We have one thought which leads to another thought, which leads to another thought. And then sometimes it's hard to come back around to where we started. And as I mentioned before, some of these things can make it difficult to have relationships. So I'm going to move on from the symptoms. I've kind of listed the basic symptoms. But before I go on to the diagnosis, I would like to share a little bit of how these things affect me personally. Okay, now I'm going to come back around because there are a couple of symptoms that that I didn't mention that are kind of important. A common symptom of ADHD is time blindness. We tend not to be linear thinkers. And the easiest way to explain this, and I've heard it explained this way several times, is for the ADHD brain, we have two times. There is now and not now. This is how we are such procrastinators, because it doesn't matter until it really, really matters. So it's difficult for us to, for example, study for a test. The teacher can say, you have a test in 3 weeks. This is the topic. This is what it is. Okay. And because we are perfectionists and we really like to do well on that test, we consider studying, but that is a not now thing. That is a way off in the future thing. And there are a lot of now things. So maybe now is our friends have asked us to go do something, or our dog wants us to play, or, you know, you're having a bad hair day, or you're scrolling through the internet and you think of an interesting topic and you go down a rabbit hole of trying to find out every detail on that topic. There are a multitude of things that are more important to the brain right now. And those things, those now things, don't get priority until they absolutely have to be done. So it is a typical thing for a person with ADHD to wait until the very last minute. Perfect example, this is an actual example of my life. When I was, time blindness also affects the linear thinking of like when an event happened. I can't tell you like what usually, unless it was a really big change. I can't tell you specifically what year a thing happened. I have trouble even telling you what age I was when a thing happened often, unless it's tied to something else. More recent things, it's like I kind of tie it to the age my children were when an event was happening. So I'm going to guess this was in sixth grade. That's just a guess. I had a report that was due, and it was, yes, I am old. This was in the time of dinosaurs, and my stepdad had an Apple IIe computer. It was one of the first personal desktop computers. He was a teacher. He had this Apple IIe. And I waited until the very last minute to write this report that was due the next day. And so I dive into it, and I think I probably started it like 3 o'clock in the afternoon the day before the report was due. And I'm like, I'm going to use the word processor because at least I can correct things and whatever. And oh, yay, I am being like so good. It's going to be so perfect because I am using technology and I am going to, you know, do this thing. So I delve in to writing this report that, yeah, I knew weeks in advance was due, but It didn't matter then, and it mattered now. So I'm writing this report. I've got it nearly finished. It's 11 o'clock at night, and the power went off. And this was in the time of, there is no autosave. That is not a thing. And I was unaware that I needed to save it regularly, and I lost absolutely everything. Had to start over and did not finish it until I think it was 2 or 3 in the morning before I finally finished it. And surprisingly, I got a fairly decent grade. However, it was a science paper and I was currently reading a science fiction novel and that also talked about mitochondria, ironically. And so some of the science fiction made it into my science paper, and it was a thing, but I still got a fairly decent grade. However, this kind of thing is a typical thing that happens to those with ADHD. It's now or it's not now. And I have to confess that that is one of the reasons why my podcast episodes have been at the very last of the month, because I fully intend to release at least one episode a month, and I'd really like to release 2. However, until it gets to the end of the month, it's not now. It's not. It doesn't have that same level of emergency, basically. And it has to get to that emergency level before there's action on a thing, because it doesn't have that that intense need. The other unusual thing about ADHD is that it can have, while we tend to be scattered and distracted and all over the place and have trouble focusing, especially on mundane tasks. Okay, so if it's, you know, I got to do the dishes, getting the garbage cans to the curb before pickup day, those kind of things that some people apparently... This is a thing that neurotypical brains do, that they have like habits. It's like, oh yeah, this thing happens at a certain time each day or a certain day each week. And in fact, I asked my boyfriend just the other day, I'm like, how do you remember that to put the garbage cans out on Tuesday night so that they can get picked up on Wednesday? And he's like, I don't know. I know that that's the day, and then I do it. See, I remember because I noticed that the neighbors are putting their cans out. I'm like, oh shit, we got to put our cans out. That's how I remember, because the linear thinking isn't there. The time it's, and this extends also to daily habits, things that other people seem to think is perfectly normal and routine, whether it's eating at a certain time, getting up at a certain time, going to bed at a certain time. Time just kind of doesn't exist in my brain. It doesn't matter. A clock is a weird thing that people invented, and time is an abstract concept. And that's not unusual to me. That is fairly typical for people with ADHD. It's time blindness. It just doesn't exist. So going back to, you know, the scatteredness and the difficulty of habits and sticking to these things, these mundane tasks, we also have an opposite thing. And that is that we can hyper-focus on things that we are interested in. Before I go into the hyper-focus thing, I need to talk about the chemical differences between the ADHD brain and the neurotypical brain. Now that they're getting better, they're doing more research about ADHD and what it is, they found that people with ADHD either lack the ability to absorb or produce dopamine and epinephrine in typical amounts. Those are like the happy chemicals, the motivational chemicals. So Yeah, that's another thing contributing to a feeling of depression or anxiety. There are three different types of ADHD. There is hyperactive and impulsive ADHD, inattentive, and then combined. And for boys, that hyperactive, impulsive tends to be a physical thing. So, you know, they see a bed and run in and jump on it. Or they run around in circles, or they're just like climbing up and down the monkey bars and that kind of a thing. Whereas in girls, it tends to manifest in our heads, round and around. And that's another symptom of ADHD, which I have learned recently. And that is that running around and around, it tends to cause insomnia. Because while we're being active in our heads, it especially does not shut down at night. So while we should be laying there quietly and our brain is shutting down, instead we are replaying the day or a conversation or we're imagining a scenario. And I recently, and again, back to friendships, I had mentioned in a previous episode that I made a new friend here, which is great. She is also neurodivergent. She has, I think, ADHD and autism. But it's great to have conversations with her because our conversations go this direction and that direction and the other direction and comes back around. And we're able to follow because we get how that works. And neither one of us is offended if the other one goes off track because we get that's how our brain does things. It's it may seem wild to the neurotypical person, but that's how it goes. But that hamster wheel of our brain going 24/7 and not being able to sleep because the brain is overactive. But additionally, that lack of dopamine and norepinephrine can also keep us from relaxing. Those are the chemicals that are needed to, you know, relax the mind, make you feel calm, make you feel happy, and safe, and not agitated, and that whole focus and all of that can be tied into those chemicals, which our brains just aren't producing. Or they're producing and not absorbing. I'm going to go back in time to some of my diagnoses. First of all, I actually was diagnosed with I was diagnosed with ADD. It wasn't called attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Yeah, it wasn't called that when I was a child. There was also just ADD because I wasn't hyperactive. And like I said, a lot of girls aren't hyperactive and it used to just be ADD, but now it's all like lumped in together and they call it ADHD. So I was diagnosed as a child, but nothing was really done about it. For a time, I was sent to school with a thermos of coffee. And that is because, and this is a really weird thing about the way our brains function, but we react to stimulants totally different than the neurotypical person does. So by taking a stimulant, it can actually calm us instead, which is why stimulants are the prescribed medication for people with ADHD. And I will come back around to the medication part. These chemicals, this chemical imbalance, can make us reactive, you know, our, like I said, blurting things out and that kind of thing. But we are also hyper-reactive emotionally. So things impact us on a deeper level. We tend to be more deeply hurt by criticism, which is really hard for a child, especially because you're having trouble following the directions of everybody else. You're not thinking like everybody else. You already feel abnormal because, frankly, you are. And and then you get criticized because you spoke out of turn or you didn't turn in your homework that you fully intended to. Like, why didn't you bring your homework? You can't have forgot. Yeah, you forgot because you're disorganized and it was not now and it didn't matter at the time. And then suddenly you're in class and it matters and it's now. And so you're being criticized. But in addition to being criticized, those with ADHD tend to take criticism really, really harshly. And a lot of us have something that's called rejection sensitivity dysphoria. We tend to have an extreme emotional sensitivity. So as a child, I was often told, you're overly sensitive. And yeah, I was. Perhaps. Or maybe that's just how ADHD people are, and it's not a bad thing. ADHD people tend to be extremely empathetic. I can remember getting into a fight on the playground because some little boy stepped on a bug, and it was really upsetting to me, and it made me mad because the bug wasn't doing anything to him, and it was cruel, and it was unnecessary, and it upset me. You know, we also tend to have a lot of emotional pain triggered by even the perception of criticism or rejection. And because we are weird, as children, there tends to be a lot of that. There's bullying, there's unpleasantness, and then we also take it hard. And let's face it, bullies enjoy it. When somebody takes it hard, if a person just like lets it roll off, it's like, oh, well, it's no fun to pick on them. But if you're going to cry when they call you fat or ugly or stupid or make fun of your Native American heritage, then you become a target. And then it goes on and on and on. And bullying really was a big issue for me as a child. And it was a big issue at my school. And then instead of a teacher saying, oh, well, let's try to correct the problem, it's like, oh, what was it? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Just ignore them, whatever. And for an ADHD kid, I can tell you that's nearly impossible. And then you add in the overthinking of things, then you go home and you replay the bullying incident in the when you should be sleeping, but you're not sleeping because ADHD people also tend to have insomnia. And it is not listed on the criteria of symptoms, but there's a lot of experts, and especially people with ADHD, that want that listed on there because it's just a fairly typical symptom. We tend to not be alert in the early morning hours. We tend to be night owls. We'll get a second wind at night, and it's like, oh, we could be doing this. We could be doing that. I want to start a painting, whatever. And then back around to the hyper focus. When we do find something that triggers us and is exciting, then we just like hone in on it and nothing else matters. And the time blindness comes in a totally different way. For me, it can be working on art, especially like sculpting my mushrooms. There are times when I got like really into sculpting. I like the details. I like the facial features and trying to do all that. And so I sit down fully intending to sit down for an hour or so and work on it. And then I look up and several hours have passed. I'm only getting up because my bladder feels like it's going to explode. And I've been ignoring that. We will ignore everything. We will forget to eat. We will forget our bladder. Time has ceased to exist as far as we're concerned. A few minutes have gone by, maybe an hour. It hasn't been that long, but it's starting to get dark outside. Or for me, because I'm disabled and I don't work outside the home, I try to make dinner most nights. So for me, I would get a text from my boyfriend saying, Heading home. Oh, shit. I didn't even thought anything out. I don't know what I'm making. Holy crap. I didn't know that this much time had passed. So that's how hyper-focused it is. And this can happen with, for me, it's art projects. You know, it could be anything that an ADHD person finds mentally stimulating. Video games. They could get sucked into video games and they're excited about playing and they're just like zoned. So someone might have a child who they're like, they can't concentrate on this. They can't keep track of that. They're this direction and that direction and they can't focus. But they sit down in front of the video game and they're there for hours. And that's all that has their focus. It's that big of a difference. It's a complete difference because that thing interests you. Could be gardening, could be whatever it is. And I've had it happen with kind of weird and ridiculous stuff. I have to be honest. I'm looking for a specific kind of a pepper. It is called an Italian wax pepper. I do not like spicy food, but I like this one kind of pickled pepper. And I actually ordered seeds for it. But then because it was kind of a not now thing, I may have planted the seeds a little late. And I did plant them. They're on a heating pad. Maybe they will get ripe before the summer is over, but I'm not sure. So I decided to go online and see if I could get a plant. And an hour and a half later of scrolling the internet, I am pretty sure it's impossible to order a living plant of this particular variety of pepper. But also, apparently Hungarian wax peppers are really available and popular. And why does the internet keep spitting out Hungarian wax peppers? Hungarian and Italian are not the same thing. Okay, rant over. I'll bring it back around. Okay. I think it was talking about rejection sensitivity dysphoria. And just a definition to throw in there. Dysphoria is the Greek word for difficult to bear. So yes, we are sensitive. Are we overly sensitive? I don't know. Maybe it's a quality that makes us better human beings. So speaking of better human beings, a lot of the qualities of ADHD could be considered superpowers. They are, while neurotypical people may not quite get how it all works, we do have traits that can be quite useful if utilized correctly and understood by us and the people around us. We tend to be creative. And I don't just mean creative in art, although that tends to be how mine manifests. And it's multi-level creative. So it's not, the scatteredness just isn't in thought, but also in mediums. So I draw, I sculpt, I like to say I'm a maker. So I'm creative when it comes to cooking too. Like, give me a situation and I will like find something to create, whether it's building sandcastles. I built a raccoon out of snow in the front yard when it snowed a month or so ago. And unfortunately, unless I'm hyper-focused on something, it can be hard to finish a project. In fact, I saw a meme the other day. It said, I never finish anything. I have a black belt in partial arts. And it really spoke to me because sometimes if I don't hyper-focus and I walk away from something, I don't finish the thing. And then it's a partially finished thing. But the creativity is a huge part of the ADHD brain. It's creative problem solving. It's coming up with ideas that people just say, that's impossible. And you say, well, no, because if you did it like this or like that, it could happen. You know, some people call it outside the box thinking. But for ADHD people, it's like, what box? I don't see a box. Do you see a box? I don't see a box. There is no box. That is the ADHD brain. It's not contained. It's this way. It's that way. And ideas just flow, flow, flow. There are just so many ideas and possibilities out there. The other thing is we tend to be silly and crazy and funny. And if we are in a setting where we feel free to be ourselves, we really let that go. And okay, so when I said we're sensitive, I just had a thought along the lines of us being funny and silly that then made me sad. One of the most famous celebrities with ADHD was Robin Williams. Sorry. And if you've ever watched a Robin Williams interview, it's pretty clear that he had ADHD. But that energy, that hyperactivity, that flexibility of his brain was just amazing. It was this direction and that direction of funny. And also, that funny in a lot of ADHD people, myself included, and I say this in the beginning part of the podcast, is using humor as a survival skill. A lot of ADHD kids, especially boys, because the girls will tend to, you know, rein it in and try to toe the line. But they're often considered the class clown because it's like, well, if I'm going to be made fun of, if people are going to laugh at me, then I'm going to do it deliberately. And it's that different perspective. It's that creativity. It's that silliness. It's that funny. And it tends to then kind of manifest in a charisma. And if you can make it to the point where you're like, I don't fucking care what anybody else thinks about me. I'm just, this is how I am. It tends to get you noticed and you're able to manifest that humor in a productive way. Even if you aren't a comedian, you can just look at life from a new perspective and people appreciate that. They can appreciate our humor, even if it's a survival skill. Perseverance. We tend to be stubborn. And while it can be a really tricky thing as a child, and I am the parent of two stubborn children, one of which has already been diagnosed with ADHD, so I get it. From a parental perspective, I get that perspective too. But that stubbornness then becomes perseverance in adulthood. And frankly, as intelligent as a lot, if not most, ADHD people are, we have to work harder than neurotypical people. We have to work harder to organize, to be on time, to pass a test, to remember our homework. All of those things are much harder work for us than they are for the average person. And so, yeah, we keep trying and we keep falling down and we keep trying to be perfect. And yeah, we fail, but we get up again. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get up. And we are getting up and up and up again and again and again. So, yes. Perseverance is a quality of ADHD. Because of our distractedness, and it really isn't, the perception is that we lack focus. It's not that we lack focus, it's that we are focusing on everything all the time. And so we notice the minute details. That is a real quality of having ADHD. We notice a bug, you know, crawling on the sidewalk. This might be something that children notice, but adults tend to forget. They're so absorbed in their grown-up stuff that they don't see these things. They don't hear these things. They don't notice these things. The other day I was taking a walk and I was like, whoa, there's a bunny over there in the bushes and he's cleaning his face. Do you see him? My boyfriend never would have noticed that he was there. But because of the way my brain works, it was just like, oh, I don't know if I heard a sound or if I saw a slight movement, but I was like, yeah, there he is. And it's that, that attention to detail that can allow us to observe things and appreciate things that a lot of people miss. Another part of that, which is, it's not all people with ADHD, but a large percentage of us have a condition that's called sensory processing sensitivity. Now, this means that we have deeper cognitive processing, is what they call it. So we have more attention to the subtleties. So it's not just noticing those things like the sounds and the movements and all of those things. We have and the more emotionally reactive. We have a little bit of an advantage, and that is that we tend to pause before reacting to things because we're trying to take everything in. So that is helpful in stopping the impulse behavior. So that's good. But we also have a higher sensitivity to environmental stimuli, social stimuli, the moods and emotions of others. And we're oversensitive to things like bright lights and change in temperature in the room, strong flavors. I've often said that I have a super sniffer. There was actually a time when I caught an overheating appliance because I could smell hot plastic and nobody else in the room could. I was like, okay, what is that? We're going to check that out. So there's that ultra sensitivity that can also happen for many people with ADHD. And yes, it can be extremely irritating. For example, I cannot handle like an itchy tag in the back of my shirt will make me completely insane. Just like the littlest thing. Like if there's a single hair that gets into my sweater and it's like poking me in a certain way, it's going to drive me freaking crazy until I get it out of there. So yes, it has this downsize, but it is a superpower when it comes to reading people and responding to another person's emotions and needs, when it comes to knowing when something should come out of the oven sometimes, if you forgot to set the timer. Hopefully you're not too late. So noticing minute details, whether it be touch, sound, taste, changes in pressure. We can like sometimes sense the weather coming because there's like a change. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as I guess what happens with a tornado or something, but we tend to pick up on those changes. And that can really be valuable in many situations. We are multitaskers. Yes, we sometimes don't finish some of those tasks, but more so than the neurotypical brain, we tend to be able to actually follow multiple tasks because we have this desire for stimuli. And that is really because of that lack of chemicals. We are seeking a high, not, you know, like drug high, although that can be a problem for some people with ADHD because of that. People who are thrill seekers can often be ADHD people. They want to jump out of a plane. They want to dive off a rock into the ocean. They, you know, want to wrestle bears, whatever it is. It's that adrenaline rush. It's that need for stimuli. But on a lower level, that need for stimuli is is keeping busy in multitasking. So you've started this task, but you know that isn't fully focused. You aren't fully focused on that because you want more. You want more bits. You want, okay, I am watching this TV show and I'm gathering information about my gardening, but at the same time, I am searching for information on the next podcast episode. Whatever it is, you're going a couple different directions. And if an idea strikes you, bam, you're going that way. As long as you can keep those balls in the air, we can juggle a lot much better than the neurotypical brain. Enthusiasm, if you haven't picked up on that already. When we are excited about something, we are excited about it. And we want everybody to know how cool this thing is. We want to share it with everybody. And oftentimes that excitement can be contagious. We tend not to do things halfway because if it's a halfway thing and we're not into it, we're more likely to not do it at all. It's like always in with both feet. And we tend to be more accepting and empathetic of others. And part of that is because we grew up being the weirdos, you know? We know what it's like to be judged on the neurotypical scale and not being quite able to fit in. So we tend to have empathy for another person's situation and to try to see where they're coming from. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't exceptions to this rule because everybody with ADHD is a little bit different. But I know that myself in particular, I tend to have a lot of empathy and I always have. Unfortunately, a lot of neurotypical people in society look at that as a weakness. And I would disagree strongly with that. I think one of the biggest problems in our society is a lack of empathy. And that if we all had a little more understanding and empathy towards other people and tried to see where they were coming from, that we would be better off as a whole. While I said at the beginning that we tend to have problems with memory, it tends to be those lists, those details of trying to hold on to like a series of steps will make what seem to be careless errors in something that's a multi-step process. For me, I really couldn't grasp algebra. All those formulas of how that's supposed to work just didn't work. Okay, deviating from the list of superpowers. ADHD also tends to have a lot of learning disability comorbidities. And in my case, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. And I mentioned in another episode, I'm pretty sure it really wasn't dyslexia. It's actually dyscalculia. So dyslexia tends to do with language and words, where dyscalculia tends to do with math and geography and that sort of thing. And a lot of people with ADHD have learning disabilities that cross over. And there's people with autism and ADHD, you know, it crosses over. Having said that about the memory issue, when something excites us and interests us, we will remember everything. We will remember the most minute details of an event or a story or a movie. If it grabs our attention, if it's really important, then we've got it. My friend Corby was telling me that she just recently started playing the new Zelda that came out. And for her, the original Zelda really grabbed her attention. And she could remember all of the worlds and all the maps and exactly where they were and how to get back to them. But I guess the new Zelda has like taken the original map and like broken it apart. So there's like some of the worlds are like in or they're like in different levels, they're floating. She's like, wait a minute, this isn't where this is supposed to be. And she remembers this from when she was young because it mattered to her that much. In my case, I can remember going to movies and I would remember like every line in the movie. I remember my mother not being very happy about that, especially when I came home from Star Wars. I saw Star Wars, the original, in the theater, and I was six. I think I was six. I remembered the entire movie and was like, and this is what happened. And then he said this, and then that happened. And yet in class, I could not remember what the teacher said because it didn't matter to me. What if we are really interested in something, our memory is just like honed in and we are just like right there. People with ADHD tend to have a very strong moral compass. To get back to the bug incident. We tend to have a very clear picture of right and wrong. We don't tend to deviate that from that or be manipulated from that because of the empathy. For example, if we see that something is hurting somebody, then oftentimes our impulsivity will kick in. And while we might not be a normally confrontational person, our moral compass will drive us to speak up and intervene. That's not okay. It's not okay. And I'm not going to sit there and watch that because it's not okay. And now I learn that that impulsivity, that moral compass is a typical trait of having ADHD. So again, it's not all bad. I'm going to wrap the episode up there. If you want to hear the rest of the topics that I mentioned at the top of this show, tune in for part two of ADHD in Women. And until next time, take care of yourself and the ones you love. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your support by giving the podcast a 5-star rating. And if you can spare the time, write a review. This helps put the podcast in front of more listeners. This is a one-woman show, so sometimes it takes me a little while to get everything done. Clips of this episode and the full episode will soon be available on my YouTube channel. Look me up under Esperanza Phoenix or Unpacking Life's Crazy.